Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Amen. Well, good morning, friends. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so great to have you with us this morning. Happy Easter to all of you. We're so glad that you decided to spend your holiday this morning celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ here at our church. If this is your first Sunday with us, we're so glad that you decided to make this your spiritual home. And if you have been worshiping with us for a long time, we are glad that you decided to be here as well. As we gather here for worship, it's it's my prayer that this service would help you know God, love God, and serve God. If you have a moment, there should be a connection card that you were handed on the way in the door or in the seat back in front of you. We would love to have you fill that out. Give us your information and let us know that you are here. And in addition to that, there are yellow prayer cards in the pew back in front of you that we would love for you to fill out. If there's anything that we can be praying for or alongside you about, we encourage you to fill those out as well. We are so grateful that you decided to make this your spiritual home, and we pray that something that we say or sing together this morning would lift your spirits in the midst of this time. And with that, we encourage you to please stand and sing together as we join in our opening hymn.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord and Savior, we celebrate your resurrection today. Your saving grace is the hope for our world. Lift us up as you have risen and help us to live for you, knowing that you have victory over death and the grave. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please remain standing for the next song.
Thank you.
scripture is from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen my Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Bells ringing, they're singing, that we can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is risen from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said, "He is risen just as he said."
I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who was risen from the dead. Amen. I have to admit, as I was preparing for this morning, I was awake last night, sort of in eager anticipation. I'll confess to you, I was nervous because I was wondering what this moment was going to feel like. And I have to say, my nerves were not in vain, because you all look wonderful here today as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. As I was up late last night wondering what it was going to feel like to be preaching an Easter message before you, my heart was racing and is still racing. I guess I'm just going to have to work through a racing heart this morning. But I wanted to focus on telling the story of the resurrection in a slightly different way. Claire did a beautiful job of reading the scripture this morning, but I want to imagine, what if Holy Week started the same way that it did in the scriptures on Palm Sunday, where Jesus triumphantly entered into the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey, which was probably one of the most humble ways that Jesus could have entered the city of Jerusalem? What if he had walked into the city and people had waved palm branches like we did last Sunday and said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and they celebrated that way? And what if on Maundy Thursday they gathered, just as we remembered this week, as disciples gathered around a table to celebrate Holy Communion, the first time that it was ever offered, and they shared bread and they shared cup and they exchanged greetings and told one another that someday one of them was going to betray Jesus? What if that all happened, and then the next day Jesus was crucified up on a cross? He died for all of us, just as the scriptures were told, as Jesus would. What if all of that happened, and then Easter morning came, exactly as the scriptures told it, and Mary Magdalene went running to the tomb, and she discovered it empty, and she decided that this was weird, right? Because usually when we go to graves that people had inhabited, you don't expect to find them empty. What if Mary Magdalene had discovered the empty tomb, looked at it, seen that the stone had been rolled away, saw that Jesus wasn't there, and was like, "I don't think I should tell anybody about this. People are going to think that I am weird." What if she had just kept it to herself? What if she had zipped her lips closed and just said, I don't feel comfortable talking about this. This is surely a strange mystery. I don't know what to do. The tomb that we just buried Jesus in is now empty, but I don't want people to think that I'm crazy. I mean, at some levels, proclaiming that the tomb is empty is outrageous. We all probably have been to burial sites, to gravesides, and we expect, when we seal the grave, when we seal the vault, when we put shovelfuls of dirt on top of the grave, when we bury the remains of our loved ones, we expect them to be there for quite some time, if not forever. And yet on this Easter morning, shockingly and outrageously, the tomb was empty. And Mary Magdalene had the courage to go tell somebody. So she didn't follow my story in an alternative universe. She decided to go tell other disciples what she had seen and what she had experienced. She went running back to tell them, which I have to admit, if I saw that Jesus' tomb was empty, I probably would have taken one of those two actions. Either I would have been like, this doesn't happen. And I do a lot of funerals, right? I don't know if I should talk about this. I might lose my preaching credentials. People might ask if I've been drinking recently, right? If I'm hallucinating. And yet, Mary took this other option. She went and she told Peter, James, and John, and they went running to the tomb, and they were so excited, shocked perhaps, to see that the tomb was empty. They were so excited, they were sprinting. You think about these young guys, you know, like running to the tomb as fast as they can go to get there. And it even talks in the Gospel of John, they were like racing each other like school kids out on the playground. They were excited. And then they get to the tomb and they discover it empty. And imagine this, what if the story had ended there? What if they, as a quartet, had sort of looked at each other and said, I don't think we should talk about this. Maybe they might have assumed that the Romans had just stolen Jesus' body and that was the end of the story. What if the end of the story took place right there and there was no scriptures recorded about the empty tomb? But we know that that's not what happened either. Those very same disciples, and perhaps you know this story, after Jesus was crucified, they were so terrified to be associated with Jesus that they went into the upper room, and I imagine them sort of locking the doors, and there were a bunch of guys sitting around a table going, "We don't know this. We don't know this Jesus. We don't want to talk about him. Nobody's going to admit that they know him. Let's all just hide in here. We'll wait for the storm to blow over. Nobody has to know that we were Jesus' 12 disciples, because if they find that out, I could lose my life too." But you know what's crazy to me? The story didn't end there either. These guys, and this is, you know, us guys, we tend to get fearful, you know, in these kinds of moments. It oftentimes takes a bold and courageous woman like Mary Magdalene to come kind of poke us with a stick and say, "Guys, Jesus is no longer in the tomb." And that proclamation, the first person to announce that Jesus had been raised from the dead, was a woman. And that spurred those disciples to go out and preach the message of resurrection from one person until the next, until the next, until the next. And for 2,000 years, people have been telling this exact same story over and over and over again. Why? Because it matters. I don't know about you, but for anybody else, have the last 2 years been kind of rough? Has it been rough on anybody else? Is it just me, you know? Maybe I'm alone up here, but it feels like these last 2 years have been sort of rough on us. I mean, disruptions in life, global food supply chain shortages, issues with economics all around the world, arguments over whether to wear masks or not to wear masks, conversations about vaccines, drama around every corner. And I ask you at this point, what if we all just decided that this business about the resurrection is just a bunch of hocus-pocus mumbo-jumbo and we stopped telling the story? But here, as people of faith, we continue to proclaim the resurrection. And you know, it's interesting to me, the fact that Jesus' tomb was empty, they had to kind of come up with a word for how to describe the fact that the tomb was empty in the ancient world, because they didn't have a word for people coming back to life when they were dead. Why? Because it didn't happen that often that somebody would die and come back to life. And so they had to come up with a word. And the Greek word that they used in all four Gospels and in all of Paul's letters was anastasis. Can you guys say that? Anastasis. And what that literally means, if you take the word anastasis out of the Greek, it means uprising. And so when the Roman Empire, back in their day, was anxious on Palm Sunday, when Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem riding on a donkey, what they were worried about, the Romans who controlled the entire region, was that Jesus was going to start an uprising. They were worried that Jesus was going to lead an army into the city of Jerusalem and overthrow the Roman government. But it turns out that Jesus' uprising was literally just the fact that he came back to life after he was dead. And that uprising started with Mary Magdalene. And that uprising continued with the rest of the disciples and eventually the Apostle Paul. And millions and billions of other people have been caught up in this radical uprising of hope, this radical proclamation that even death doesn't get to have the final word, the most unimaginable. I mean, have you ever just paused and thought about what it would feel like to be crucified? And even in that moment of darkness and pain and suffering, just 3 days later on Easter morning, an uprising of hope was just taking off. You know, I'm here to tell you, we're still part of that uprising. We are still part of that movement that Jesus started that first Easter morning some 2,000 years ago. because one person told another, and then another person told another, and the story kept being told from one person to the next. And imagine, we are all here today because of that incredible chain of one person telling another person the story. For 2,000 years, we've been celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus started the very uprising that the Roman soldiers were afraid of. And here in the church, it may seem like things have been difficult and challenging, but our part of our uprising over the last couple of years is we were able to raise $10,000 for the Vena Dental Clinic to provide dental assistance for low-income families in our community. And this year, we've raised about $4,000 for the Samaritan Counseling Center, which has allowed folks who are struggling with mental illness to receive low-cost or no-cost clinical counseling from licensed therapists. This year, we're building a tiny home for a homeless person in the city of Detroit as part of that uprising of hope. We continue to build homes for folks just south of here in Washtenaw County through Habitat for Humanity. Every year, this church has been involved in giving somebody keys to a house for the very first time in their life. And I would argue that's all because 2,000 years ago, Mary went for a run. And I'm here to tell you that 2,000 years from now, I hope that people continue to tell the story of the resurrection, because this day, this morning, you continue to keep the hope of this story alive. Now, maybe some of you came in here and you're like, I'm actually kind of with Mary. I don't know if I can stomach the full story of the resurrection. And I'm here to tell you that that's okay. If nothing else, if you're a skeptic about the story of the empty tomb, this morning I'm here to tell you that there are so many signs of resurrection all around us that whether or not you hold on to the literal interpretation of the story, or if you just choose to believe that at the end of the day, God's in control, and at the end of the day, death doesn't get to have the last word, that there is good news beyond the grave, that's enough to hold on to this hope. And you can still partner with us as we continue to transform this world one person and one life at a time. Friends, I hope for a moment this morning you can imagine what it would have been like to be there that morning when you discovered the tomb empty. Because we are all part of an uprising of hope. And I am convinced that this year, with everything that we've been through as a country and as a world, as we continue to see these horrendous images of bombed out buildings in the Ukraine, as we continue to see explosions and mass graves, as we continue to see doctors in ER rooms continuing to treat patients on ventilators, that the world needs an uprising of hope now as much as it has in any time in history. So my prayer is that each and every one of us would capture this uprising of hope that took place 2,000 years ago, and we would live as if the resurrection were true for us today. Hold on to that incredible hope. Don't keep the story to yourself. Don't be afraid that people will think that you are a fool for believing in hope at a time like this. Because in 2,000 years, I believe people will be thankful that you had the courage to continue to tell the story today, because you are still a part of that uprising of hope. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Gracious and loving God, thank you for leaving an empty tomb for us to discover this Easter morning. Thank you for giving us a sign of anastasis, this uprising of hope. And thank you for giving us an opportunity to share the good news of the empty tomb. Allow us the joy and the hope of this Easter morning. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is a That was beautiful. Thank you so much. God is good.
All the time.
Amen. As we start this morning's prayer time, I want to call your attention to the two beautiful prayer quilts that we have hanging. On your way out of the sanctuary, the quilts will be on the table. Stop at the table, tie a knot. You'll find strings there that need to be tied. Tie a knot, and as you're tying that knot, say a prayer. The quilts are for Janice and for Hannah. And on your way out, please tie a knot, say a prayer, and then there's cards at the back. Please sign the card, because we want to let Janice and Hannah know that although the quilts are wrapping them in warmth, they're also wrapping them in our prayers and our love for them, and that we're thinking about them. But I also like to say a small prayer for them. So if you would raise a hand towards the quilts. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless these quilts recipients and give them strength, courage, patience, and faith to face the weeks and months ahead. We ask your blessings on their family, friends, and the medical personnel helping them. May these prayer quilts be a constant reminder of God's love and hope and of the thoughts and prayers of those who tie knots and say prayers for them. Help us to be reminded that two things never die, peace and love. The prayers we say for others wrap them in peace and comfort them like a warm quilt. Prayers are tangible evidence of the love we share with them. Amen. Now, if you'll join me in an attitude of prayer. Lord, our Father, Jesus, our Savior, we give you thanks for your love, your grace, and your power on this blessed resurrection morning. We thank you for the many friends and loved ones who have made the effort to gather with us today, whether it be in person or online. The women gathered their spices and traveled the road to the tomb to find it empty, and were told that Jesus had risen. Then they traveled the road to the disciples to tell them the good news. Today we choose our road, which leads to the good news and the hope of a better world by following Jesus Christ. Lord, by raising Christ your Son, you conquered the power of death and opened for us the way to eternal life. Let our celebration today raise us up and renew our lives by the Spirit that is within us. Lord, the resurrection of your Son has given us new life and renewed hope. Help us to live as new people in pursuit of the Christian ideal. Grant us wisdom to know what we must do, the will to want to do it, the courage to undertake it, the perseverance to continue to do it, and the strength to complete it. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Today we celebrate and give thanks that in life, in death, in life after death, we belong to God. Now we bring to you our praises and concerns as we spend time in silent prayer and meditation. For as long as I can remember, we have been finishing our prayer time with the Lord's Prayer. But for me, it got to the point where I wasn't praying the prayer, I was just saying the words. But thanks to the study that we've had, and thanks to John and Lindsay for bringing that study to us, I now have a better understanding of the Lord's Prayer. And if you didn't before, I hope you do now. And I hope as you say the Lord's Prayer with me, that you stop and think about it, and you're not like I was, just saying the words. Because the prayer has wonderful meaning, and I want you to think about it. Lord, a new day has come, a new road to follow, and new hope for a better life and a better world by following the teachings of a risen Jesus Christ, who, when asked by the disciples how to pray, he said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And don't forget, God loves you, and there ain't a darn thing you can do about it. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Bruce, for leading us in prayer. At this time, we have an opportunity to respond to God's goodness in our midst through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. And some of you maybe have received an invitation to give to a special Easter offering this day. We invite you, if you'd like to contribute to that, to put those envelopes in the plates as they go by. We are grateful for the incredible ways in which God has responded to our call to God in the world today with this incredible gift of hope and grace and mercy and peace. And as I said earlier, the gifts that we share this morning will continue to be used to be a blessing to our community. Just yesterday, somebody called the church office and told me that they were from the UP. They were from the UP, and they didn't have the gas money that they needed to get back up north to get back to their family for Easter Sunday. And it was a joy and an honor and a privilege to just be able to say, like, we can do this. We can get you home for Easter. And so we were able to bless somebody with, it's an ordinary thing, but when it's Easter, to be able to get across the Mackinac Bridge to spend time with family means everything. Your gifts that you give today will help us continue to be a part of the Easter miracle in people's lives. Would the ushers please come forward and assist us as we receive this morning's offering?
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord and Savior, as you live to serve, we live to serve you. Accept these offerings we bring today and use them for the good of your church, your community, and your world. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I invite you to remain standing as we sing the closing hymn, the Hallelujah Chorus, which is a tradition of our church to sing this piece together as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus.
So there is sheet music at the end of the pews. If you know it and you want to come up front and join us, that'd be great. We could have sopranos over here, altos right here by this podium, and tenors and basses on that side of the choir. So if you want to come forward, come now.
Well, thank you so much for being here this Easter morning. I want to share with you, I sort of feel like Steve Jobs for a moment here. I want to share you, there's just one more thing that I want to invite you to. Out in the Memorial Garden, right after the service, if you would like, we are going to do a dove release as a sign of the uprising that is taking place right here in our community. So if you would like to join us, there's room for us all to gather. And in a moment, we will take the doves that are symbols and reminders of the resurrection of Jesus. And we'll throw those doves into the air, and they'll circle around in the air a couple of times as they fly high above the city of Brighton as one more reminder of the hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you want to grab your coats, if you want to join us outside, you can get through to the Memorial Garden through a door right here. If you want to come out the sanctuary and hang a right at the end of our fellowship hall, there's another door on the right-hand side that goes to the Memorial Garden, and together we will experience the joy of the resurrection in the same place that the first Easter took place, a cemetery, a place of death. But in that place is the place that the hope of an uprising shines the brightest. As you go out into the world, I pray that you would go with the blessing and the good news of Jesus Christ, a sign of the resurrection. Hold on to that hope. And do not let anybody diminish the hope that you have in Jesus. As you go out into the world, go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, Share this video and join us again next week.